From 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting its inaugural season through June.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today we have another Yay All Travis show.
Oh, thanks. I'll start with a preview of the Indianapolis School Ballet's Coppelia, then hear what's new at the Heron School's galleries, and wrap it up with a chat about Book Mamas.
And of course, there's our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do?
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Based in downtown Indy, the Indianapolis School of Ballet offers professional instruction to students aged 4 through adult. Each spring, they also put on a full production of a ballet, and this May, they'll present the comic ballet Coppelia. Based on a tale by E.T.A. Hoffman of Nutcracker fame, the story's action is set to colorful symphonic music by Leo Delibes and features the toy maker Dr. Coppelius and the life-size doll he creates. Travis DiNicola spoke with Victoria Liris and Kathleen Partlow-Strauss from the ballet.
Vicki, Kathy, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you both.
Thank you for having us again.
Thanks, Travis.
Absolutely. Now, before we get too much into this interview, I do need to make a little disclaimer here, because in this production of Coppelia, I will be portraying the role of the mayor, as I did 2 years ago when you guys produced Coppelia then. And I am looking forward to it very, very much.
We are delighted that you are returning to perform this role that is yours exclusively.
Well, thank you. It's a whole lot of fun. And I gotta say, in my experience before, when I was working on this with you guys a couple years ago, I was just so impressed by all of the talent, by the kids that participate in the Indianapolis School of Ballet, such incredible talents, as well as, of course, the guest artists you bring in, the instruction you provide. But the kids are just really amazing.
Well, we're very proud of their accomplishments. Obviously, they work very hard throughout the year on their technique, and certainly all the performing opportunities they receive only enhance all of that, not only technically, but artistically. And we do have very few guest artists. Really, all the dancers who may be called guest artists now are really graduates of our school in many ways. Kristen Young, who is doing the role of Swanilda, she was our first graduate in 2006, and she has recently graduated from the University of Oklahoma with honors,
okay,
4.0 average, and she's joining Nashville Ballet.
Great.
So we're very excited that our students are not only placing in elite ballet programs in the university circuit, but also now we're starting to place them in companies.
That's really, really cool.
It's
congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And of course, I mean, Oklahoma has a great school there as well. I know you've had some other students that have gone off there. Tell me a bit about this production. How many dancers are in it?
Our cast is over 50.
Okay. Wow.
This time around.
And all ages?
All ages, starting in 8.
Mm-hmm. So some of the kids have had a chance to perform this before. They were in the last production.
Yes, they were. This year we have some new divertissement. Those are small dances in the third act, and we have some of our youngest dancers. They are age 8 in this production.
Neat.
So this is new, and also 4 little boys.
Well, that's great to hear. I love to hear that there's some guys who are dancing.
Lots of guys dancing.
Awesome. And they've been preparing for this for quite a while. I know that they look forward to it very much, and they've been preparing for this. Tell me a bit about the story of Coppelia. It's sort of the almost kind of like a Nutcracker light, if you will.
It is. It's
the
a
spring
comic
version, maybe.
Absolutely. It's a comic story, in a sense. There's an eccentric magician wannabe toy maker, Dr. Coppelius, who is building these dolls, and he he is a little bit of an odd character, and, mm-hmm. and everybody thinks he's a little crazy, actually, in town. But the plot, the main story really is about the main characters, Swanhilda and Franz, who are to be wed. And Franz is smitten by many of the girls in the village, and there's a little bit of a give and take there with that temperament between Swanhilda and Franz.
Well, it seems like most of the girls are smitten with Franz, I would say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. But he's a great guy. He's a great guy. But he just he's intrigued by the girl up in the window, which is Coppelia. And Coppelia is one of Dr. Coppelius's inventions. She's mm-hmm. a doll, but of course he doesn't know this. And nobody in the village knows that Coppelia is a doll. So as this plot unfolds in Act Two, the Swanhilda and her girlfriend sneak into his toy shop. They make total havoc of the place.
A very funny scene.
Very funny scene. And then at one point, Swanhilda actually puts on the dress of Coppelia and becomes Coppelia. So Dr. Coppelius goes through this whole magical process where he thinks he is actually giving life
to his doll.
Correct.
Yeah. A lot of fun with sort of mistaken identities and, mistaken whether is it a doll or a person or what have you.
Totally. And there's mm-hmm. mischief around it and a lot of humor.
Yeah.
A lot of
very
humor.
Funny ballet.
And what's wonderful about this particular ballet and the roles that these students have, it challenges them to really act. To become mm-hmm. wonderful actors. So theatrically, you have to convey the story not only through the dancing, the technical aspect of it, but through the acting. So this is such a phenomenal tool for these young dancers for their development and their growth. And they're really dancing it beautifully. In the third act, of course, is the celebration of various events of the day mm-hmm. With, of course, dancing and festivities, the celebration of the bell. And then there's the various hours of the day that represent dawn, prayer, work. And then there's the villagers' dance. There's war and discord. This is new this year. So there's a little bit of extra drama mm-hmm. there.
Okay.
And then, of course, peace. What resolves the ballet piece, the section piece, is the actual wedding, pas de deux of
Swanhilda.
And
this is all part of the town's big celebration.
In the third act, mm-hmm. correct. So it's a long ballet. It's a phenomenal ballet. It's quite a feat for the principal dancers, and particularly Swanhilda. I think that particular dancer has to prepare like a marathon runner. Mm. It's such a challenging role, it's such a tour de force of a role that you just stand stamina wise to dance so many variations and three acts.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of preparation, rehearsals every day
physical.
For weeks.
Mm-hmm. What about Franz? Tell me about the young man playing Franz.
Yes, we are so thrilled to have Chris Lingner come back to dance. This is his first time appearing as Franz in the full-length mm-hmm. Coppelia. He has danced so many roles with us. He was, of course, Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream, and he has been Snow King and Cavalier and Nutcracker, and has done Balanchine's Tarantella with us. But he is also now, he just finished his first year at Indiana University in the
Great.
Very prestigious ballet program there,
mm-hmm.
as is Michelle Meltzer, one of our graduates, and she's coming back to dance the lead in War and Discord.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting for them, too, to have an opportunity to come back as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. See old friends and see their families. And
Every opportunity these young dancers have to perform and to be challenged by new roles, technical roles, it's a win-win for them. It's part of their growth.
So. Tell me a bit how you work with the students on conveying character. I mean, obviously, they spend a lot of time in their classes working on their technique, but how do you work with them on conveying character in a story such as this?
Right. Well, when you start with pantomime, there's a lot of language. Most of the language is articulated with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We show the story, we lay it out with our hands, our facial expressions, but mostly it's our hands and our arms and our body language and facial expression. So that takes a lot of time to learn to accomplish that, so it really reads to mm-hmm. the back of the theater.
Right. It needs to be big.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It has to project mm-hmm. to such a great magnitude. But not only that, all of this pantomime has to be done specifically on cue to the music. So
I learned when I was working on Coppelia before.
And you did beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you. So it's a really great challenge that you bring to your students by putting this on, and I know they look forward to it, and of course the audiences love it. You've got two main performances. Tell me, Kathy, a bit about how people can get tickets, where it is, all that sort of thing.
Sure thing. The performances are at our main stage performance home, which is this beautiful Scottish Rite Cathedral Theater. It's a wonderful building. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. So
just an
being
incredible
in there,
stage for ballet, I think.
It is. It's a great theater. We have fantastic lighting and stage direction, and it's a truly transporting experience. And so the tickets are available for our 3 p.m. performances both days, May 21st and 22nd. That's Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you can get the tickets at the door. You can buy them online. I highly recommend online so that you can choose your own seat. The website's very self-explanatory.
Oh, great.
And you can get to that site by going to indieballet.org. IndyBallet.org. And we also have people in the office on the phones if you need help or don't have computer access and you want to get those tickets right away. And our phone number is 317-955-7525.
Great. And now this is a ballet that's absolutely appropriate for all ages. Great
this
to bring the family
to. This is a family show.
Mm-hmm.
It's
very
terrific.
Much so.
And not only that, but if you have young boys or even middle school aged boys, they will see their peers on stage. This is a terrific show to introduce boys to ballet.
I love that. I love it. And it is, because it's a great story, but it's also the roles are very masculine and very, very fun and very athletic, and it's great to see that. So, yeah, absolutely, especially if you have a son who's thought about maybe, you know, taking some dance classes, taking ballet classes, this would be a great ballet to take them to.
It would be. It's a great introduction. And when I took my then 13-year-old son to see just the one performance that the school did 2 years ago, he was laughing out loud.
Yeah, because it's such a fun story
and
easy
he didn't,
to follow.
Yeah, and he didn't expect to. Mm-hmm. And he's my baseball player and loves basketball and, you know, of course, grown up around his little sister dancing. But he didn't expect for it to be that laugh-out-loud funny.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And he's really looking forward to this one.
Oh, good.
Not only is the story funny, but it's so fresh, considering this ballet premiered 141 years ago, almost to the day, May 25th. It is so fresh. It is so young. It's so approachable, and you get totally consumed by the plot.
Mm-hmm.
It completely transports you in this majestic theater. So I highly recommend for children of all ages to come to this wonderful, wonderful ballet.
Well, I am looking forward to it as well, being a part of it, being a part of Coppelia at the Indianapolis School of Ballet. And Kathy, Vicki, thank you so much for coming into Are the Matter. Always great to see you both.
Thank you so much, Travis, and we're looking forward to having you dance with us.
Travis DiNicola with Victoria Liris and Kathleen Partlow-Strauss from the Indianapolis School of Ballet. Their production of Coppelia takes place at the Scottish Rite Cathedral on Saturday the 21st of May and Sunday the 22nd. Both performances are at 3 p.m. For more information, visit indieballet.org. That's indieballet.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. Hoosier philanthropists and art collectors Dorit and Gerald Paul have made a significant gift to the Heron School of Art and Design, creating a permanent fund to support gallery programming. The Dorit and Gerald Paul Gallery has been named in their honor. Travis DiNicola spoke with Dean Valerie Eichmeyer about the gift.
Valerie, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Travis. Great to be here.
And as you're wrapping up the end of spring semester, it seems like there's just a ton of stuff going on, which is fantastic. You guys just never slow down.
No, we don't. And it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things that are going on at Heron School of Art and Design coming up over the summer and in the coming months. But what I want to start with is first just a big congratulations to you, because I know you've just recently received and announced a major gift to support the galleries at the Heron School of Art and Design. Why don't you tell me a bit about that?
Thanks, Travis. It is exciting, and I'm very pleased to celebrate with Dorit and Gerald Paul. They have made a gift to the Heron School of Art and Design for two things. Actually, they're leaving part of their art collection as a planned mm-hmm. gift to the school that will help students become more aware and see firsthand some of the works of the 20th century, some very important artists like Jackson Pollock and de Kooning and Frank Stella and many others.
Robert Longo, I saw
as one.
That's
one of my favorite pieces,
I mean,
too.
They've got a great, you know, small but very important and exciting contemporary collection.
I don't think
collection.
It's small. It's very interesting. They are the quintessential collectors. They mm-hmm. buy what they like, mm-hmm. and they like a lot of different things. And they have collected over several decades, and the focus of their collection, actually I shouldn't say focus, it's really, you know, the I guess the thing that you can say about it is that it's Dort and Gerald.
It's what they like.
It's
now,
what they like.
It's 14 pieces that they're...
17 pieces.
17, excuse me. Okay.
And they have hundreds.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
You know, of course...
Which is not small at all.
No. And it's fascinating. But the pieces that we're getting is really mm-hmm. pretty much focused on, you know, contemporary 20th century
okay.
artists. And I know that they're making gifts of some of the other important pieces from their collection. But Dort and Gerald have been friends of the school and have been involved for decades, really, since the very first gallery director when the museum and the school separated back in the late 60s. Dort was very involved in Heron and was actually one of the co-founders of the Friends of Heron
okay.
back in, I think it was 1979, maybe 1980. But with Carol Adney as our first gallery director, and then she's been very involved with every gallery director since then to be involved with the Friends of Heron.
And they are the Pauls of the Paul Harris
yes.
clothing stores.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Gerald, and his story is very interesting too. I loved hearing how, you know, how he started out as a stock boy at the silk factory and then, you know, great ideas presented themselves or he took opportunities to present ideas and mm-hmm. That's how that emerged.
Wow.
But that tells you a little bit about the two of them. They're very independent thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, they like to be involved in the community and they, you know, they give back. They're involved in multiple organizations, both visual and performing arts. They travel the world. A lot of their collection has been assembled actually through their travels and finding the things they like. Some of their collection is actually by Heron alums and faculty. And part of the show that will happen this summer is not only the 17 pieces from their collection, but also a few of the local artists that they've collected as well, like Phil Tennant and
okay.
Willie Faust
mm-hmm.
and John Domont. So so that's a great part of their collection too, is they buy what they like.
That's really neat. And how great of them to share that with you. Now, when this is on exhibit, I mean, these are some pretty valuable pieces. I mean, does this mean you have to change security at Heron, or how does that all work for you?
We're pretty secure.
Okay.
And some of the pieces mm-hmm. that will be permanent, some of them will be rotational and will be shown occasionally.
Okay.
And we've worked out with them that which pieces will be on permanent display and others that will be brought out as part of their collection, as well as part of their gift. They've established a endowment, and this is our first at any endowment for mm-hmm. the gallery for operation. And as you know, the arts have declined in funding sources over the years.
Oh, yes.
And it's always a challenge for any arts organization to figure out, you know, how to plan far enough ahead that you can write grants or mm-hmm. secure funding, but you want to keep your shows current, and it's hard to plan when you don't know whether or not you're going to have the funding. So,
and the gallery is such an important part of the Heron School of Art and Design. I mean, certainly you utilize the gallery space you have there to show the work of faculty and for students as well. In fact, right now I know the MFA show is up, but one of the really important functions of it is bringing in outside contemporary interesting work that the students can see firsthand. And so, I mean, funding like this is crucial to that.
It really is. And as the NEA and a lot of corporate sponsorships have declined over the years, it is a challenge to figure out how to bring in those international shows. And we view our galleries as, and I say galleries in multiple, we have five mm-hmm. galleries, and they all have slightly different missions.
All of them are located at the main building at Eskenazi Hall.
Yes,
correct?
It is. Well, okay. We have several other gallery spaces and some in the planning for the sculpture ceramics building. But that's another story, another day. But the five galleries that we have is the Robert B. Berkshire Gallery, the Eleanor Prest Reese Gallery, and the Dort and Gerald Paul Gallery. And those are focused primarily on bringing national and international exhibitions in mm-hmm. with the annual student exhibition as well. And then we have the Basile, Frank and Katrina Basile Gallery, and the Marsh Galleries. And those are more internally focused for mm-hmm. MFA thesis exhibitions, faculty, maybe one-person faculty shows, things okay. like that. So they're the best gallery spaces that you can find anywhere. They're beautiful spaces. So I encourage any of your listeners, if they haven't mm-hmm. visited Heron School of Art and Design, that the galleries are open from 10 to 5 every day, except for Sunday. And please stop by. All visitors are welcome.
It's really great. I mean, one thing I like to do is, you know, especially if maybe, you know, on a walk on the canal or something, and to, you know, to walk up to the IUPUI campus in Heron, and where you're located right there, you know, sort of just off of Military Park, right by where the tennis courts used to be. And it's an easy walk to get to there.
It's very easy, and there's not a weekend that goes by in the summer months that there's not something happening in Military Park.
Sure.
So, I mean, that would be a perfect occasion as well to just walk on across the street. But we're very excited about the cultural trail coming right along Blackford
right.
Street.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll get people, if they're walking, jogging, or biking, that they can come in for a moment, take a look at the art, and
check out the galleries.
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. So that's great.
Very exciting stuff. So this endowment from the Paul, so this will allow you to bring in additional shows. So tell me a little bit more about, I mean, sort of their relationship with Heron.
Well, the endowment does help programming, and mm-hmm. we will look to further our endowment. I mean, this, again, it gives us a very, very good start in being able to plan ahead and get shows in that we, you know, otherwise might not have been able mm-hmm. to plan for. But in addition to that, the Pauls have been supporting Heron in so many ways. I mean, they have an endowed scholarship at Heron. They've helped support visiting artists over the years. They've hosted mm-hmm. things in their homes. You know, they're John Heron Society members. Dort serves on my Dean's Advisory Board. So they have been just so great. And on a personal note, I just love them. They're wonderful.
That's great. I mean, and obviously, I mean, they've got such a great relationship with Heron and with you that's developed over the years. They must be very excited about this as well.
I think they are. They suppress they're subdued in that, but I think they're very excited. And I know that you know, one of their goals is really to share mm-hmm. share what they love, and also to make a difference and impact on the community. They have said on many occasions that they want to do something good in the community and instill a sense that their children and their grandchildren may feel very good about what they've done, and also to provide learning opportunities for mm-hmm. others.
Excellent. Now, this is, of course, the big news right now, but there's a lot of other news of other things that are going on at the Heron School of Art and Design in the coming months. Tell me a bit about that. Everything from, there's another show, there's a show that you're in, there's a fundraiser. Where do you want to start,
okay,
Valerie?
Okay, two dates. There are two important dates.
Okay.
The first is June 4th. It's mm-hmm. a Saturday, and it's an annual event, a Heron Experience event, and it is our fundraising event. And it should be nothing short of just a blast, so much fun, because the theme is Dada to Gaga,
okay.
Lady Gaga, that
mm-hmm.
is. And so you can dress in your favorite Gaga attire.
So it's a costume ball.
It is a costume ball.
If you want it to be.
If you want it to be. I don't want to tell people they can't come if they're not in costume. Mm-hmm. But you can come as your favorite work of art or as basically anything. So Dada okay. to Gaga. And there are many sponsors. We have great sponsors, great food, great music, art auctions, and...
And where does that take place?
That'll be at Eskenazi Hall.
Okay, so that is actually right there where Heron is.
735 New York
Street.
Cool.
So you turn the whole building into a...
The whole building is an experience that night. And it will... I mean, the volunteer committee that's really working on this... I can just tell you it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the first event.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is also in June, and that is June 17th. And that will be the celebration to have the first show highlighted as the Dort and Gerald Paul Gallery.
Okay.
So there'll be two shows there, the Dort and Gerald Paul, the 17 pieces from their collection, and then we will host Robert B. Berkshire. Robert passed away in December, and he was a longtime faculty member. Many collectors in town have purchased some of his works previously. We have, through his estate planning, many of his paintings, very large, beautiful paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And so those will be on display and also for sale.
Okay.
And then in the Marsh Gallery,
mm-hmm.
Randolph Deer, his friends call him Randy,
mm-hmm.
will be showing a collection of his works. And I think they're...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, many people may... I didn't know for a long time that he was a painter and...
I did not know that either. I mean, Randy Deer is known as a great philanthropist in town.
But... He is. Mm-hmm. I mean, so anyway, it came to my attention a few years ago, and he had never really had a show. And one of the things that we do in the summer months, because most of the time our galleries are very busy, scheduled throughout the academic year, but
mm-hmm.
1 month in the summer, we do offer the Marsh Gallery for other artists, local. And we invited Randy to have an exhibition of his work. And so it's, I think, 12 paintings from spanning about 50 years.
Hmm.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, wow, that's going to be great.
It was hard to pare it down, but we picked...
Figurative, abstract?
No, most of them are landscapes.
Landscapes,
yeah, you know, his work has been, you know, anything from the French West Indies to mm-hmm. Brown County landscapes.
So places he's been,
things exciting. That he's been inspired by. And then the Basile Gallery.
Mm-hmm. Where your work is going to be?
Yes.
Now, this is really exciting. This is, I believe, the first time
I have not shown my
work. Your work since you've been dean. Is that correct?
Well, I've had a couple pieces in the faculty show once in a while.
But not a show.
I have not had a show of my own work. And this, I'm making sculptures and paintings, but this particular show is just of paintings.
Okay.
Mostly landscape, seascape paintings, kind of... abstracted in some ways, but so it's exciting for me too. And it kind of coincidentally happened that I had scheduled to finally do this, and
mm-hmm.
then Randy and I kind of teamed up together, and then the Paul's announcement came. And anyway, I think it's gonna be an exciting night.
Now, Valerie, I know you've got a great resume as a working artist. I mean, you've been a painter and a ceramicist for many, many years, long before you were a dean at Heron. But is it a little nerve-wracking to put together a show and know that, you know, your faculty and your students are going to be, and your donors are going to be looking at it a little bit as well?
Well, yes. I think, you know, that art, you know, I guess artists, this is the way I feel about it
mm-hmm.
anyway, is that no matter... where you are, if you're not a little nervous, maybe you're not trying out something new. And
mm-hmm.
and so anytime you're out in sort of new territory or whatever, you know, it's a little bit, you know.
And exciting, too.
It's exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited, actually.
That's great. Well, that's going to be a great show. So, again, the big fundraiser is on June 4th.
Right.
And the name of that again?
That is Dada to Gaga.
Dada to Gaga. How could I forget? And then on the 17th is when all the shows open with the collection of the Pauls, as well as your work and Randy Deer's and
Robert Berkshire.
Very good. One thing I do want to ask before I let you go, Valerie, one of the works that the Pauls donated, it's a Pollock.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? I mean, how cool to have a Pollock in town.
I know. It is. There's two. There's a de Kooning and a Pollock.
Wow.
That are both will be in our collection.
Okay.
And they're small pieces, and the de Kooning is a figurative piece, and the
mm-hmm.
Pollock is a drawing as well, and
mm-hmm.
or one's a painting drawing. And you know, I just think that tells you something about their eye
mm-hmm.
as collectors, too. that they were just really inspired by these pieces. So it's very exciting.
Can't wait to see them. Thanks so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Travis DiNicola with Dean Valerie Eichmeyer from the Heron School of Art and Design. For more information about the school, visit heron.iupui.edu. Heron, remember, is H-E-R-R-O-N, so heron.iupui.edu. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
What did you do a few days ago to celebrate International Lost Sock Day?
Oh, you know, May 9th was International Lost Sock Day, and it's kind of a celebration, but there's a little sadness to it.
That's
you have
right.
to collect all your single socks and say goodbye to them.
Well, I think that some enterprising artist in our listenership should next year create an art installation with all of those single socks.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
You might even have some pairs.
That's right.
That get paired up there.
That's right. Well, we have more news about art exhibits and other crazy things on our calendar that we call
What Do We Do?
There is with our single socks.
So much going on. Starting with something light and fun, of course. VOD Lately, this is the evening of comedy and music and burlesque that is taking place Sunday night, 8 o'clock, up at Morty's, featuring comedian and author and just an amazing person all around, Courtney K. Myers, also the comedy parody band Booty and the Goldfish, and the burlesque troupe Creme de la Femme, also a whole bunch of fun comedians that are going to be performing there as well. It sounds like a great time to me.
Somehow that leads naturally to Odd Indiana at the Indiana
State
Museum.
It does, doesn't it?
Hey, this is quite legitimate. If you like history detectives on our sister station TV20, which I admit to being kind of a geek about, mm-hmm. I love that show. This is an exhibit that you will like. You have a little bit of time. It runs through February. But if you're looking to celebrate your kids getting out of school, or maybe you just graduated from college and you just want to go look at random strange stuff that you're not going to be tested on, it's Odd Indiana, and it features a collection of more than 50 unusual items that represent science and culture. And these items also reveal the nature of the collections of the Indiana State Museum and how they've changed over the years. And one thing you want to look for is a patented device that helps a woman fill out the bustle in her skirt, or did a century plus ago when women weren't built like Jennifer Lopez and needed something to help them fill out their bustles. It started with Lost Sock Day.
Where else can it go? Speaking of bustles, Matt okay. Sosi, who is often a frequent contributor here on The Art of Matter and also the host of the Blues House Party, is involved with Footlights musical The King and I, which is opening this weekend, also runs next weekend as well, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Showtimes are at 8 on Fridays and Saturdays, 2:30 on Sundays. And besides it being a great, fun production of an English school teacher matching wits with the King of Siam, Matt Sosi is going to be performing as a guard. And Sharon, are you ready for this?
I think I know what you're about to say.
Go ahead. A priest.
Oh.
Yes, Matt's going to be a priest. And
I thought you were going to talk about Emma's role.
Well,
sorry.
This is the most important role, of course. Emma Sosi, Matt's daughter, who's also sometimes a producer here on Art of the Matter, is one of the royal children. But so both Matt and Emma are in it, as well as Emma's grandmother and Matt's mother-in-law, Leanne Perkins, as part of the orchestra. So it's three generations of Sosi's Perkins at Footlights, King
Aww.
And I, this weekend and next.
That is so
Should be
sweet.
Fun.
A priest, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We mm-hmm. won't. Yeah. We'll talk about that after
bustle
we close
on over
the
to something
microphones.
Else, maybe.
Yes. We'll bustle on over to Inner City Inspiration, An Artist's Evolution in Clay, which you have just a few more hours to take in. This is at IMOCA. It's Malcolm Mobutu Smith's fascinating art exhibit with some of the most intriguing and vividly colored creatures and shapes, and it runs just through this Sunday at IMOCA. You can get more information by going to indiemoca.org.
Very cool. Hey, Body Electric Dance Kaleidoscope, May 19th through the 22nd, Thursday through Sunday, at the IRT main stage. Three pieces, including Electric Counterpoint, In the Moog, and Skinwalkers. It's a concert appropriate for audiences of all ages, in spite of the names of the pieces. And it's also featuring jazz violinist Kathy Morris. Dance Kaleidoscope next weekend at the IRT.
Excellent. Hey, time is running short to see the Decorator Show House this year. It's only open through May 15th, so just a couple more days, 11 to 6, and you can get tickets at Marsh Supermarkets, or you can get tickets at the door. It's Evergreen Manor this year. It's 4310 North Meridian Street. Go to showhouseindy.com for more details, and you really should do that to check it out before you go, to get a little bit of the history. It's just gorgeous, beautiful Tudor-style home, green tile roof. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Decorator Show House, showhouseindy.com.
Very good. If you're ready for some outrageous fun, then Cultural Cannibals is where you want to turn for your Bollywood Bhangra on Friday the 20th, starting at 10 o'clock at Club Hyde. If you don't know what Bollywood Bhangra is, well, it's sort of a hybrid, a mix of Bollywood music and Bhangra, referring to this dance music that began in India, kind of a blend of hip-hop and dancehall and house music, as well as traditional Indian folk music and from Punjab. And anyway, it's fun stuff, and the Cultural Cannibals, including DJ Kyle Long and Arthur Silva, are presenting it next weekend.
Hey, don't forget 39 Steps at IRT. Your
Ooh,
time is
running extended.
Out to see it. But call fast before all the remaining tickets and the extended tickets are gone, too. Especially if you've ever loved Hitchcock films. Not that you need to have that background to appreciate it, but it helps. And you'll get all the nuances and all the jokes.
There's
a lot of good inside jokes.
Very, very funny show. I think they actually use the name of almost every Hitchcock film at some point in the script, in the text, which is just fun to listen for.
There'll be a quiz at the end.
No, not really. Well, maybe a little one. But yeah, definitely worth checking out 39 Steps. Hey, the opera is performing this weekend, La Traviata.
Yes.
And it continues on Sunday with a performance at 2 p.m. at Clues Memorial Hall. So there's still a chance to go see the Indianapolis Opera at Clues, 2 p.m., La Traviata.
Marino Flynn, you heard her talking about her very dramatic Irish family, worthy of an opera itself. She's playing Violetta, fascinating lady, so go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have time for one more thing?
We do, Sharon.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Don't forget that, and this is a play that reminds you of your mother and Mother's Day, Musical Comedy Murders of 1940. At Indianapolis Civic Theater, just
Mom loves a good murder.
Just about another week. So, speaking of things, they're just a lot of fun and great to see a fun show as the weather warms up and we start thinking lighter thoughts. So, check that out. You know, it's the close of not only the Indianapolis Civic Theater season, but the end of their the end of their tenure at Marion University.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
If you're at all Last nostalgic, show. You should make sure you to go. Help them go out in style.
Definitely worth checking out. They're not leaving town. They're just moving north a little bit.
That's
up
right.
up to Carmel, where they will be performing starting this fall, the regular season. Another very, very fun show. Speaking of fun shows, a lot of great fun theater in May, including The Zippers of Zoomerville or 200 Laps and Alas, a Mini Mockeretta. Yes, it's sort of like a Gilbert and Sullivan meets the Indy 500 at the Phoenix Theater. Imagine those things all colliding together, and you got a pretty good idea what The Zippers of Zoomerville is about. It's running through May 28th at the Phoenix Theater and features some very, very fun music with Tim Brickley and also Jack O'Hara. Definitely worth checking out.
I just realized why there's a Lost Sock Day.
Why
there
is that,
are
Sharon?
So many great arts events going on in town. They're knocking people's socks off, and people are not able to pick them up fast enough to reunite them.
Comes from. I get it now. That makes total sense. Hey, last thing. Speaking of knocking your socks off, I've got one last thing I do want to mention, and that is a big welcome to Indianapolis from Art of Matter to Fill the Void. Phil's the very fun performer who's done a lot of great stuff with Indie Fringe over the years. And he's moved to Indianapolis. He's back in town. He's here all the time. And he's going to be doing a series of shows, including Very Big Laughs on Mass Avenue, which starts up May 20th. and also runs the 27th through the 28th, and there's a whole bunch of different things going on, but the one-hour show features 30 minutes of side-splitting laughter from Fill the Void. Should be a lot of fun. Welcome back to town, Phil. So, and if that doesn't knock your socks off, I don't know what will.
But we'll be back again next week with more fabulous things going on in the arts on our calendar we call
What Do We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Book Mamas is an independent bookstore in the Irvington neighborhood. Primarily buying and selling used books, they also have some new titles and lots of events for book lovers. Travis DiNicola spoke with Kathleen Angelone about the shop.
I'm a big fan of your bookstore. I'm a big fan of all independent bookstores, but your bookstore is kind of in my neighborhood, so I'm a big fan of yours. And I've been wanting to chat with you for a while about how you got started with Book Mamas. I know it's been about 4 years, and just also especially it seems like you guys have events every weekend practically. But let's start with, tell me a bit about the store, where it is, what it's like, how you got started, things like that.
It's in Irvington, mm-hmm. just south of Washington Street and just east of Ritter Avenue on the first floor of the old Masonic Temple. It's a beautiful old building with mm-hmm. a lot of wood, and it smells good with the books in there. And
it's
I just
love it. It's
a neat
little street. It's that sort of curvy street that comes off of East Washington, right across from Lazy Days,
right
around the corner from the Irving Theater. It's a neat little sort of side street that you're located on. You've been there, what, about 4 years? Is that right?
It's 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin Carolyn works there with me, and mm-hmm. we're just having the time of our lives doing this. We both read all mm-hmm. the time. And we could think of nothing better than to spend our days dealing with books. And so that's what we're doing at this point in our lives.
I think that is fantastic. And congratulations for doing that. Now,
Thank you. You
know, to be fair, if someone said, oh, I think, you know, I wanted to open a bookstore, it may not be the best business decision at this time right now, just because it's a tough market for bookstores, whether it's independent or others. But you're really focused on used books. I mean, you do have some new, but used kind of allows you to have some uniqueness and also keep the inventory.
We have about 35,000 used books yeah. on all subjects at any time. Plus, our new inventory is almost all about Indiana. You would not believe the number of books there are about Indiana, mm-hmm. by Indiana authors, and about Hoosiers. We have a book on Indiana bats. We have books on Indiana barns. We have books on Indiana farms, books on Indiana houses, on Irvington, on Carmel, on Scienceville. General Indiana history.
When you're dealing with used books, I mean, the Indiana stuff's easy, obviously, but when you're dealing with used books, what are you looking for? Maybe what are you not looking for? Do you get a, you know?
We have more than enough romances. We really mm-hmm. like the science fiction sells very well mm-hmm. and the horror. And then Carolyn and I have different interests in life.
Sure.
She's really into sports, so she looks at all those, and she likes them, and she knows more about music than I do, and she really gets into that and the performing artist. I get into the history books and the religion books mm-hmm. and things and the classics. We both like classics.
Sure.
I shouldn't say one or the other of us.
But when you started, I mean, you said you're a great lover of books, great lover of reading. You didn't really know a whole lot about running a bookstore at first,
knew
did you?
Knew nothing about running a bookstore. I bought essentially an online business and opened yeah. up a bookstore.
Okay.
Which is not a bright thing to do. It's not a good marketing plan. And we did it right before the bottom fell out of the economy. But we're still there.
And where you've really, I think, developed your business plan, though, is being sort of a neighborhood resource. I mean, was that intentional? Or was...
Yes, very definitely.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I always loved reading about the Russian and the French royalty and the salons they had, and people would come and they'd hear the new music and they'd talk to people about ideas and books and poetry. And I've always wanted to have something like that. Now I don't want to be a princess. That's never going, and it wouldn't happen if I wanted it to.
Right.
But this is like my Hoosier version of that.
Okay. And so that's sort of the motivation for a lot of the events and things.
Definitely.
Tell me about what you do. I mean, everything from book clubs to demonstrations, author readings.
Well, for example, we have a lot of author signings this coming Sunday, the 15th at 1:30. Tracy Ball will be there. She's a young lady who was working with my daughter, and she was raising young children, and she wrote a book that was picked up by a publishing company, and I haven't read it, but everybody who's read it and talked to me about it says it's very good, about a young mother's struggles with depression in a fictionalized fashion.
Mm-hmm.
We have an open poetry mic the second Friday of every month from 7 to 9, moderated by Bob Henning. We have two book clubs, one that meets the second Tuesday, that's called Shared Pages, and we do a whole cross-section of books there. And the fourth Wednesday at 7, the Literary Ladies Met. That started out as a Jane Austen book club.
Okay.
And we are not trying to keep men out, but we tend to choose books that are either written by women mm-hmm. or have a major female protagonist.
And that's, I mean, been a theme. And when I first heard of Book Mamas open, I thought, well, this is just a women's bookstore. But it's not, though. I mean,
no.
There's certainly women-oriented events, but it's
I
a
wish
bookstore
I'd come
everybody.
Up with the name myself, but I have to admit I bought it.
No, really?
Yes.
It's a fun name.
It's wonderful. I couldn't come up with a better one.
You also show art there. I saw from the email newsletter you do that an artist named Moonstump is on exhibit.
Yes, and her work is very pretty mm-hmm. and very pleasant. Makes me happy just to look at it.
Neat. Now, and you're also right around the corner from the Irvington branch of the library.
Yes.
And do you partner with them, or
yes,
how does that
work?
Yes, we
do. I take authors over there. Mm-hmm. For example, on Tuesday, May 31st, Melanie Bolin is going to be at the library. I'm sponsoring her. She's going to be talking about her book, Real Stories of Big Cat Rescues. That's about, it's in central Indiana somewhere. I'm sorry, I don't remember mm-hmm. where. They rescue like lions and tigers, and she has this marvelous PowerPoint presentation and wants to talk about it, and we felt the library was a better venue for that.
Oh, that's great that you can work with them on that. And then
yes.
You've also gotten involved in some publishing yourself with the Ichabod Sketchbook.
Yes, it's a literary journal.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't do creative writing myself, just a little bit of essays. But I just love poetry, and this is my way to help with poetry. And, of course, it's called Ichabod's Sketchbook because Irvington was named after Washington Irving,
mm-hmm.
the favorite author of the founders. And his famous character is Ichabod, and Ichabod appears in his book, The Sketchbook.
Okay, well, nice connection there. Yeah, it's a great title. And then also on the covers of these, there's Ichabod Sketchbook, and then the second one as well. There's a great illustration of a tree that's pretty well known in the Irvington neighborhood.
Yes, it's the Kyle Oak, and unfortunately the Kyle Oak is on Beechwood Avenue, not Oak Avenue. But it has been there since before Christopher Columbus came to America,
mm-hmm.
and it was on the property of May Kyle, who was an administrative assistant to Eli Lilly. And so whenever the international visitors would come, they would come to her house, and she would feed them lemonade and cookies and take them to see the Kyle Oak. It's probably the only tree in Indiana that has its visitors book.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, you've certainly become a big part of the neighborhood and very invested in the Irvington neighborhood, you know, since you've been there with Book Mamas. Kathleen, let me ask you this. What is different about the experience now, looking back on it, from maybe what you expected when you first opened Book Mamas 4 years ago?
Well, everything is different because I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I liked to read, and I was fortunate enough to have a time in my life where everything came together and I could try to do this. And so Carolyn and I didn't really know what we were getting into. We just take it one day at a time and we keep growing.
Any good lessons learned from you and Carolyn, or just to sort of keep?
The most important thing is mm-hmm. not to worry too far in the future. And we do try to be very honorable in our dealings.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes a big difference. And again, certainly, you know, providing more than just books, a space to meet. I do want to mention you're closed Tuesday and Monday, or Monday and Tuesday.
We have very odd hours. Mm-hmm. They've been called quirky before. Basically, Wednesday 5 to 8, mm-hmm. Thursday 3 to 9, Friday 11 to 8, and Saturday 10 to 5. But okay. We are open a lot of extra hours when we have events. It's just this way, Carolyn and I can guarantee mm-hmm. that we will be there. Up
sure.
until now, I've had a full-time job along with the store. I am
right.
retiring. But this also gives us the opportunity for me to take, shall I say, the show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I go to a number of farmers markets. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm going to the Bragg Farmer, the Binford Avenue Farmers Market this summer, and May 21st, I'm taking Jolene Ketzenberger.
Oh, great.
And she's
yeah.
going to be signing copies of her cookbooks from Cafe Indiana.
Oh, fun.
And Keith Adkins, the minister of the Irvington United Methodist Church,
mm-hmm.
who had a geology undergraduate degree, and he has written a book reconciling the biblical stories of creation with the modern scientific explanations.
Wow, very interesting. Well, that's great. So, but certainly you can plan on Thursday, Friday, Saturday afternoons pretty
certainly.
Much always. Always
and
good to check your website.
A lot of Sundays mm-hmm. were open.
If
but
there's
since
a special
Carolyn,
event or something.
Well,
or...
and also Carolyn and I, we don't want to say we're going to be open on Sundays because we're in the same family and we might have something we have to do. And, you know, Sunday
yeah.
afternoons are special. But I am there a lot of Sundays, so if you're in the neighborhood, you can stop by.
Travis DiNicola with Kathleen Angelone of the Book Mamas Bookstore, located in Irvington, just across Johnson Street from the Lazy Days Coffee Shop. For more information, you can call 375-3715, that's 375-3715, or visit bookmamas.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I get to chat with Michael Feinstein about the Sinatra Project.
I'll find out what's going on at Eagle Creek Park this summer, including the upcoming fishing day.
And I'll chat with artist Stephanie Lewis Robertson about her art installation, The Infinite Moment of Now. Plus, we'll have our arts calendar week all.
What'll we do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, presenting its inaugural season through June. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.